Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Coleman Taylor Transmission, servicing Central Mississippi for over 60 years. Their ASE-certified technicians offer dependable transmission services, a warranty, and record services. Call Coleman Taylor today for all your transmission needs.
And again, welcome in everybody to this Thursday edition of the Red Bull Report. My name is Michael Morkey. Glad that you are with me. So, this should be a lot of fun. And my apologies for missing on Tuesday. Could not do one live on Tuesday, but here back live on Thursday on this June 26th. And we are very much in the dog days of summer. But a few weeks ago on the radio show, as you guys know, we've been at it, oh gosh, for maybe even a couple months now, maybe a little less, doesn't matter. We started doing a top five list every day on the radio show leading up until the last Friday before week zero. So we're doing one every day. Sometimes they're sports related, as you guys know, because I've done a few here as well. We've done some Ole Miss and State related. Yesterday we did the top five sandwiches, stuff like that. Today's I loved, and I loved it so much, and I felt like our audience loved it so much that I wanted to bring it to you guys, too, here on the podcast feed as well. And the prompt was the top five moments in Ole Miss sports. And, hey, Dad, of course, did Mississippi State since 2010. That is the year I moved to Mississippi is 2010. And so that's kind of why I chose that to be the prompt for tonight and for, of course, the radio show earlier today. So I've loved the top five list. Our audience has seemed to like it, and I hope you guys do as well. So that's what we're doing tonight, the top five moments in Ole Miss sports since 2010 on this edition of the Red Bull Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe if you're on YouTube. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And wherever you get your podcast, just search Red Bull Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotabrookhaven.com. They have a service department as well. If you live in the area, if you live near exit 40 in Brookhaven, that's open Monday through Friday. It's one of the highest rated in the state of Mississippi. But more importantly, guys, they understand how difficult the car buying experience is. They know how stressful it can be, and they will take care of you like a person. They will treat you like a person, because that's what Toyota of Brookhaven does. They will deliver on that promise. They've got outstanding interest rates, especially on the new Tundra. If you want a new Tundra, outstanding truck. Also, $1,000 on me. $1,000 on me. $1,000 on me. If you just tell them that I sent you. So check them out, Toyota of Brookhaven. They bring you, in part, this edition of the Rebel Report. So, my list is, hey, Dad didn't like one of my omissions. And I honestly, I agree with his displeasure. And I think you guys might have some displeasure with this list as well, with an omission on this list as well. What I tried to focus on were not only like big in-game moments, but also like high-level, like athletic plays as opposed to the Quincy Adebojo touchdown in Tuscaloosa, which was an incredible moment. I mean, that highlight is still out there all the time. People love it. To me, I wanted this list to not be luck. And the play is awesome. And I mean, it led Ole Miss to a win in Tuscaloosa, and that was a big, big, big deal. But it was really lucky. And I wanted to focus my list on things that were huge for the programs and also like really awesome plays that were not lucky. And so that is why I omitted the Adebojo touchdown. Hey, Dad thinks I'm insane. I probably am. If you disagree with me, I understand. I kind of feel dumb leaving it off this list. It's an amazing play. It would have been like number seven, but to me, it's an awesome play, but it's lucky. And the things that I'm bringing to you tonight, none of this was luck. All of this was players rising to an occasion in the most critical time, or the most, that kind of stuff. And so that's why my list is what it is. Here's my honorable mention. So this is actually not This is not number five. This is, I guess, number six. Honorable mention, because this play is crazy on so many levels, especially considering who it was against and who. Here's the play. Here's my honorable mention for top moments, top five moments in Ole Miss sports since 2010.
Quarterback. Thought different. Third down and eight. Daniels out of the pocket. He's going to try and run for it. Breaking tackles. Oh, the ball is out. He gets popped. He lost the football. A'Jon Anthony with a big open field hit. And Ole Miss has a takeaway.
Guacamole. Watch this hit right here by A'Jon Anthony. He said, get that man some milk. Pop that ball right out of there. When we talked to Ole Miss defensive coordinator Pete Golden, he said it's
really just incredible stuff there. Number one, Daniels being what he was for LSU, possibly having the greatest individual season. And he was amazing that day as well. I mean, I know that the fumble there and that in effect costed his team. They were on their way in to score if he just holds on to the football. But great play. The visuals are stunning. Golden hour with those uniforms against LSU, with those uniforms, the collective boom when the hit happens, that was just electric. And that may not have even been like the biggest, most important moment of that game. You could argue that Trey Harris's touchdown there at the end is it, or Jackson Dart's hurdle. But that's the play from that game that stands out to me the most. And I don't think it's a top five one, but I do think just the visuals of that had to be played. As I was going through this, I had to play that one. So that's honorable mention. Here to me is number five on my list of most top five moments in Ole Miss sports since 2010. Here is my number five.
Full count coming to Perzok with the bases full and no outs. Infield still playing in. Here's the pitch, and he hits a line drive to right field. It's a base hit. One run scores. Here comes Will Allen. Right fielder can't pick it up. He's still chasing it. Two runs have scored. Here comes a third. Perzok's at third base, and the Rebels have now taken a 9-4 lead.
We have beverage showers
in the Ole Miss section on the road.
How about Holt Perzok doing it again?
Boy, I'm sure glad he didn't walk.
It was a good call on 3-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, great call by the home plate umpire. Oh, my goodness.
There's also some other moments from that series that could be it. The Errol Robinson relay throw could be one. I mean, there's a few from that weekend. But to me, the Perzok triple in the ninth, it was only a two-run game at that point. I mean, if he strikes out, then they roll one over into a double play. Who knows what the bottom half of that inning looks like. That was the moment that Ole Miss punched their ticket to Omaha, that right there. And so that's why it showed up on my list. It's because that was when you finally knew, wait, holy crap, they're actually going to make the College World Series. They got that monkey off their back. Ole Miss has finally eclipsed that. But they've gone over that bar. They've jumped that hurdle, whatever expression you want to use. It was that moment to me where watching that, I thought, okay, that's it. They're going. You know what I mean? That was the defining nail in the coffin knockout punch to get them to the College World Series for the first time. So big spot, really cool, really great call there from Kellum as well. And that is my number five. You guys might not like my number four. Hey, Dad didn't really like that I included this in my number four, but this is my number four, and I'll explain why after I play it for you.
Run this play. You have two plays to get the 10 yards, you think. Here comes pressure. Calzada steps up and delivers a throw. It's picked off. Picked off by Finley. A.J. Finley down the sidelines. Touchdown, Ole Miss. Pick six. Should put this away. What a defensive performance. This stadium has come unhinged with that play by Finley. Picks on back-to-back possessions, Kirk, when A&M was only down two and had all the momentum.
How fitting for DJ Durkin's bunch with the way they played. But he's waiting until he finally feels that Smith is going to get separation to the outside. See, the ball's late, thrown late and behind his receiver who's on an out cut. It's a no-no, obviously. And Finley takes advantage of it and makes Calzada pay for it.
Finley, the junior free safety out of Mobile. He's grown. He's improved. He's one of those guys who's just gotten better and better as the season's gone on. And the last couple weeks, just monster playmaking.
Yeah, best couple games he's probably played in his entire career, and it continues.
All right, and here's why I chose that one as opposed to many of the other football moments in the Lane Kiffin era. That was, to me, at that point, the biggest home game for Lane Kiffin. I know they played LSU earlier that year, but that was the biggest home game in the Kiffin era. It was the first year post-COVID. Texas A&M ranked number 11. College game day in town, and that was the play that sealed the win, and that was Lane Kiffin's biggest win to that point. And that's when I think, walking out of the stadium that day, that's when I think it went from, hey, Ole Miss is going to be fun and interesting under Lane Kiffin, too. Oh, Ole Miss is about to take a big step forward and elevate as a program under Lane Kiffin. Tennessee was – Matt Corral's game against Tennessee in Knoxville could be put in there. I thought about Lane Kiffin catching the bottle that was thrown at him or the golf ball. I really thought about those moments, too. That was a big, big win. But this one to me was bigger because it was at home. The crowd was unbelievable. Again, game day was there. You beat the number 11 team, and that's when it was like, oh, they're going to go to an Access Bowl in year two, which is really only year one if you think about it, because of COVID and all that came with that. Again, that was the moment to me where it's like, not only are they going to win this game and they're going to get Kiffin's biggest win to date, at least on paper, and that to me walking out of the stadium was, oh, they're about to start, like, they're taking a step forward. They're going from interesting to great. A lot of recency bias in my number three, and this isn't even really the right shot for him, but Ole Miss has made two Sweet 16s in the history of the program. One just happened this year, and one player in particular did things in March that an Ole Miss player has never done before. And this was his coolest moment. I've got another one for you, though, that's probably more important. But when you hit a game-winning buzzer beater in a tournament in March, I don't know how I can leave you off the list. So here it is.
Now the second. Missed it. 5 seconds. Padula! Here in Nashville.
Padula's run in March. In this portal era, people talk about how it's hard for fans to attach themselves to players if they're only one-year guys and stuff like that. Padula's an Ole Miss legend after the March that he had. Don't forget, it started with he hit the game winner on, I think it was March 1st, right, against Oklahoma at home to win that game. And then he did this against Arkansas. And then, I mean, his play in the NCAA tournament was unbelievable. And this was this was the bigger shot. It's just not as cool of a moment. But I kind of used the buzzer beater to loop this one in here because at the time, it was a big shot. But I do think that it's a rather innocuous play that had big-time impact. So hear that.
It's been tough for Ole Miss to even find good looks, let alone get the ball in the basket. Breakfield. Padula got the screen. The three. Bullseye! What a shot!
And so, for those of you listening, if you don't remember the spot, Ole Miss was up 2, minute left against North Carolina. And, you know, pause for a second. I have not actually explained what each clip is. So the honorable mention was the Jane Daniels fumble LSU 2023. The baseball one was the Purdzok triple, bases clearing triple. Ole Miss was up two in the ninth to punch their ticket to Omaha. Number four was the A.J. Finley interception return for a touchdown against Texas A&M in 2021. This is so embarrassing that I have to do this just now. What an idiot I am. Number three was the Sean Padula buzzer beater beat Arkansas in the SEC tournament. And the one I just played was the three-point shot that ended the game against North Carolina. North Carolina was surging back. Ole Miss was just up two with a minute left. If that shot rims out and North Carolina gets the rebound, I don't know if Ole Miss wins that game. And if he doesn't bury that shot and they lose, we're not talking about the Ole Miss basketball program in the same way we currently are. Because of course, the Iowa State game never happens and they don't play their way into the Sweet 16. Without that shot, I don't know what the conversation is around Ole Miss basketball is right now, as opposed to it being right now through the roof. Fan interest is through the roof. They portal extremely well again. There's so much money and attention pouring into the program. Without that shot in particular from Padula, I don't know if we're doing that. But without him and him playing just out of his mind in March, I don't know if we're having that same conversation. So Sean Padula is a player that had a few moments in March. Those two, though, were the ones that stand out the most. Number two, here's my number two Ole Miss moment since 2010.
Another low snap. Sims deep into the end zone, double coverage. It is up for grabs. It might be. No, it's no. It's out of the end zone.
Well, this will be reviewed.
Sinquez Golson thought he had the interception.
Remember, he's 5'9". He went and got that.
Intended for O.J. Howard, who is 6'6".
He's got it. His foot comes down. Now, is he juggling it? He's got that football. Controls that football. That'll be reviewed. This could be an interception.
The previous play is under further review.
Absolutely. His left foot comes down. I think it's going to be called an interception.
Well, the call made by Tony Jocelyn, the back judge.
After further review, the ball was intercepted in the end zone.
Of course, Sinquez Golson's game-sealing interception against number one Alabama in 2014. So that, not only was that play amazing and all that, there's a couple of things, though, aside from the fact that, unfortunately, the call couldn't be good because at first it was ruled incomplete. So it's not on Gary, but call wasn't particularly good there. Although the pop when he announces intercepted is pretty sick. But there's a lot of upsets that happen in college football. A lot of top five teams, a lot of number one teams get beat by average or below average teams. It happens. Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame this past season. The difference about that game is that wasn't fluky. Ole Miss was better than Alabama that day, and like they belonged on the field with them. It wasn't one of those goofy college football things. It was just they lined up and beat them. And they lined up and beat them at a time when the program was on such a rapid ascension up. And I know things, of course, with Hugh Freeze crashed and burned, but it was that day, I think it was that day, where Ole Miss fans realized that they could have a program that competes at a higher level than it has for the entirety of most of the fans' lives, right? So that was the first real, hey, you know what? Little Ole Miss doesn't have to be little Ole Miss. Ole Miss can compete with the best now. And it was, I think it was that day when the fan base's mentality started shifting more towards, you know, this can be a program that wins at a high level. Now, it took the administration longer to shift that thinking, and it took a few years and the arrival of Lane Kiffin for everybody to get on board with that. But I do think that day was validation for the people that thought that Ole Miss could be better than it had been for such a period of time. And then the day itself was a perfect day. Literally, the weather could not have possibly been more perfect for a college football game. That was just like chef's kiss. Everything about the weather was beautiful. College game day was there for the first time, and they captured the Grove and everything that came with it beautifully. College game day did such a good job that day of capturing what it was like to be there. Katy Perry throwing Lee Corso's headgear pick out into the crowd, the field storming, the goalposts, everything about that day was a perfect college football day, but more importantly, it was validation. Which is the most important thing to me and why it's number two. But it cannot be number one because number one involves winning a national championship. And I didn't choose the final out. There could have been a lot of things that you choose. But this, to me, to my knowledge about Ole Miss sports, I'm sure there are moments maybe in the 60s, like before my dad was born. But this, to me, to my knowledge, is the greatest moment in Ole Miss sports history. You guys have to know what it is already.
Still, it's only a two-run game. It feels like it may be a little bit bigger than, but it's only two. It's only a two-run game. You get McCants here, and you're still in business.
Two down, 1-1 pitch. This ball driven to right, going back. Spikerman, see you later. Caught in the bullpen, and a two-run home run for McCants. A huge hit for Ole Miss. Two Rebels. And another shot. This one deep to right center field. Going back, looking up, and it's gone! Back-to-back home runs. The bottom of the order delivers. Calvin Harris leaves the yard. 7-2 Rebels.
Comes in. He's got to go left on left, and he changed it.
Justin Bench, wait a minute. Back to back to back. Three in a row. Justin Bench, fourth of the year, 8-2. And Ole Miss has got the sticks out. Carter Campbell coming in. Brad Cressy.
And of course, you guys know what it is. The back-to-back-to-back Jacks College World Series. Ole Miss goes on to win the national championship. That was the moment that you knew that that is a team of destiny, right? That there was no doubt after the back-to-back-to-back Jacks that Ole Miss was winning the national championship. Not only is that kind of thing like a rarity in sports, although they did it two other times that year, but in that spot with that crowd being what it was, that third boom, you know how they do the little like forearm high five thing and everybody yells boom? That third one, whew, it gives you chills, man. That was really a really special moment. So those are my top five. What are yours? We'll read some of your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you are a Mississippi business that needs technology, check them out. absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. Also, the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform, their local loan servicing and decision making, their locations scattered across the state. So there's very likely to be one right down the road from you, like there is me. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. So a few of these came in before the list was totally finished, but here we go. Number one has to be 3 years ago today. Winning the College World Series can only be topped by winning either the College Football Playoff or NCAA tournament, without a doubt. Number one, College World Series. June 26, 2022, 4:55 Central Time. He struck him out on a breaking ball, and the Rebels are your national champions. Mike Monaco had a heck of a call on that as well. He actually, I need to reach out to him again. He was a great guest on the radio show, but he joined us after that to talk about his call and from last team in to last one standing. Yeah, that was a good one. He did a really good job on the call there as well. So many things that happened during that trip that, I mean, so many things to choose from, but it's got to be that one for sure. Making the College World Series in 2014, number 5, beating Bama 2014 and 15, number 4, beating Georgia in 2024, number 3, baseball wins the national title. Oh, in no order, sorry, in no order. Baseball wins the national title and basketball Sweet 16 this year, in no order. There you go. Always a good day when you make a live stream. Appreciate you being here, man. Appreciate you being here. The other 4, the Bama pick in 2014, of course. Les Miles forgets how timeouts work. That was in 2009, right? I think that was 2009. Padula's 3 versus Arkansas in the SEC tournament. Tunsil's touchdown in the Sugar Bowl. That was a good one. I thought about that one, too. That was a really good one. That Sugar Bowl was in a good way, a complete crap show. In a good way, though. That crowd against A&M that night was the first time you were convinced something had changed in the football program. Yeah, man. It was cold, wasn't it, that day? It was really cold. But, yeah, game day came back. A&M number 11, one of the best defenses in college football was Texas A&M that year. And it didn't matter. Really like the trick play against Texas A&M when Jordan Watkins pretended to sub out and the defense left him wide open for a bomb touchdown. Wish Padula had another year. Oh, man, if he had another year. I mean, what would we be talking about with that team if Padula came back and had a – I mean, you're talking about with the right pieces and a little development here or there. I mean, are you talking about Final Four run? Yeah. Absolutely tried to give that game away to North Carolina, and Padula decided that no, we're not. Yeah, that 3 was huge, and it's not like an epic moment, but without that shot, I don't know if they win that game. I really don't. Even though it wasn't on the field, hiring Lane Kiffin in 2019 after the mess the program was for years and the university was a disaster as well. Yeah, that was a pretty bold move, but Ole Miss needed a bold move at the time. And I mean, since then, the way that everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction. Now, I'm sure internally they've got people that, like, you know, it's not always perfect, but the way that it seems like everybody is in lockstep on what it takes to win and providing what it takes to win. And man, the fan base has got to be given credit for that too. I think the basketball crowds could have been better, but that's a slow build, but they were good. And man, the people that traveled to the NCAA tournament, that was real. The atmospheres at the regional were outstanding. And what you guys have done with your support of football is, I mean, everything else is trending towards lower attendance. And man, that season opener against Georgia State is going to be packed the hell out. And not everybody in college football is going to be able to say that when they're playing directional U, they're going to pack out their opening game. Not everybody's going to be able to say that. But the fan base, I've only lived here 15 years. Right. And I've only been working in media for 10. I say only. I mean, that's kind of a long time. And been on the statewide show for 8. So it's so I don't have the full scope historically the same way a lot of you guys do. But when I first moved here, that was not a fan base that was capable of doing what you guys are doing now in terms of selling out, money, support. General give a damn is so much higher than it was back then. in my opinion. And this is the area where it's harder to attach. But anyway, back to back to back, three in a row, and Ole Miss has the sticks out. The funniest part about the back to back to back jacks is Kyle Peterson right before McCants' home run saying, "Well, if you can get McCants here," whoops, they could not. And then it became what that was. The weird thing about the back-to-back-to-back was when I saw it happen in the regional this year, it was when I knew we weren't going to make the supers. Felt like we unloaded the magazine out of bullets. I hear you on that. Personal top moment was getting an invite to Denzel's private birthday party and getting away when the cops showed up in force. Hell yeah. Like the dart play where he ran and leaped over the LSU defender. Yeah, right before the fourth quarter as well. The third and 10, where they were down, what was it? They were down 9 with 7 minutes to go in the fourth, and they were facing third and long, and dart swing pass to Harris, and they get a first down. I mean, that play was not a huge moment, right? That's not a top moment, but the impact, the butterfly effect of that play, if they don't get that there, they lose the game, and then what happens, right? What happens to the program? What happens to everything after that? I don't know. Elijah Moore's touchdown at the end of the 2019 Egg Bowl, the silly show afterwards, revitalized Ole Miss. That was, I mean, the greatest loss in modern Ole Miss football history. That was the best loss that they could have had. Ole Miss won so much that night. Thanks to Elijah Moore. November 22nd, 2019, Keith Carter named Vice Chancellor for Athletics. Yeah. Marshall Henderson, game winner at Vandy, as well as the jersey pop at Auburn, both iconic. Yeah, I thought about both of those. The Vanderbilt one was just to send them to overtime, right? And then, but that was awesome, right? Those huge shot, and then, you know, Marshall Henderson. The Auburn thing, also great. I thought about his gator chomp in the SEC championship. I mean, there was like 8 minutes to go in the game or something like that. But that was one of those you knew that he wasn't going to be denied that day. So I thought about all those as well. But what Padula did in March this past year, I mean, love Marshall Henderson. Had a chance to interview him briefly. A weird situation, not with him. Marshall was great. It was just the way it had to get formatted was not ideal for an interview, but he was great. So with all due respect to him, he did not come close to doing what Padula did this past March. Padula just went to a different level, just a totally different level that very few Ole Miss basketball players have ever done, if any, at all. For some fun historical context, go look up Joe's and Darby's highlights upsetting Kentucky in 96. I believe Darby was my high school coach. He can ball. I'll have to do that. I don't mean to make you feel old, but I was 4 at that time. Marshall was surprisingly chill when a crowd wasn't around. Nice guy for sure. Really nice, very pleasant for sure. The miss in the Tennessee basketball game this year was also an explosion in the arena. Yeah, and I thought about the Brakefield, like one of Brakefield shots, because he just became a man possessed in that win over Tennessee. But March matters more. And so that's why that didn't make the cut. But yeah, that was a really good one. Hope Austin Simmons coming in and saving the game in Dart's absence is a sign of things to come. Big moment in that game. This time next year, if he is what people around him think that he is, then we could be talking about that as one of these moments as well. There's no doubt about it. So really good stuff tonight, guys. I mean, if you're doing, like, we do 3 hours of radio every day. And this time of year, there's just, you got to manufacture what to talk about. But the problem is you don't want to fire all of your bullets in June because you still have July and all of August to preview a team, and you can get redundant quickly if, you know, there's only so many schedule looks and position previews and stuff that we can do and that we can do here without getting repetitive or just kind of silly. So trying our best to avoid that. And I think that this was good. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know that our radio audience enjoyed it. So I hope you guys did as well. So appreciate you being here as always. We'll be back live again on Sunday after the USA soccer game. So Sunday's going to be later. We're going to go live late. I'm letting little man stay up late on Sunday night to watch it with me. The game kicks off at 6, though, so it won't be too late. But it is the Gold Cup. He's into it right now, and so I'm going to keep feeding the beast. So we'll be on after that game ends on Sunday. Keep the notifications on. Follow me on Twitter, and you'll know when we go live on Sunday, whenever the Gold Cup match ends on Sunday. So appreciate you guys, and I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.